Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Devin Tilley here, and this is one of those podcasts that The Art of Construction is for you contractors and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes. And the person that we get to talk with today is in the gooey middle of that. In fact, we're going to talk about a lot of podcasts that have been getting released that are all credit to where credit is due. And that's to Alice Leung. And Alice Leung is with Brick and Mortar Ventures. And her whole thing is all around construction tech. But what's super cool about Alice is that she has lived construction, not just been an investor in construction. And this podcast is going to be coming out live while I'm going to be in person with Alice and many leaders of the Art of Construction tribe that we've had a bunch of podcasts around recently. We're going to be at Built North America. In fact, right around this time when this is going to go live, we're going to be doing a panel that Art of Construction is facilitating. And the title of that panel is Successful Investment Strategies for Employees and Entrepreneurs. And I'm super excited that because you go look at podcasts where we've had Moritz Luck, the founder of Enscape, who is now has moved that business on. And he's going to be in the gooey middle of someone who started a construction tech company and sold it, as well as Phil Reed and Reed Thomas, where they're going to be on the platform talking about where they work with supporting construction tech, as well as Alice, who lives investing in construction. So Alice works with a really cool company called Brick and Mortar Ventures, who we've been talking a lot about on the podcast, because a lot of their investments have been people that we've been talking to on the podcast. And they're all about disrupting the way we design, construct, and maintain the built world. And I love their mission. It's all about identifying, invest in, and grow emerging companies that are develop innovate software and hardware solutions for the industries of architecture, engineering, construction, and facilities management, which is what this platform's all about. And we're going to learn and talk about a lot of different platforms she's involved in. She's kind of like myself, tribe, is she's got a lot of different fingers going a lot of different directions when it comes to construction tech of breaking down these silos. And they've partnered with Built Worlds to launch a really cool platform called Formwork Labs. And so these different companies coming together, that's all about aiming to be the foundation for entrepreneurship and innovation for the construction industry. And that's why I said, you know, Alice, it's time to tell your story, because we've been talking about a lot of these really cool companies that you've been integral behind the scenes, helping them all come together. So my main message for you, tribe, is that Alice is in the middle of construction tech investments. And I raise my hand and say, I want to know how this works. And we need to talk about how we can demystify how investing in companies can work, because there's such a small group of people that really know how the money talks in construction. Because money talks and bleep walks, right? And so we have to figure all this stuff out and demystify that. Because I raise my hand and I question it as well. And how that's going to benefit us is we have to put the future of construction of connecting the right technology with handshakes. And Alice leads the platforms that are catering to this. And so I'm so jazzed to learn from the superstar in the middle of connecting construction tech to handshakes and learn about how to join many movements that Alice is leading in construction tech. And so on the Formworks Labs, they have a quote that I wanted to kick this thing off with. It's not the beauty of the building you should look at. It's the construction of the foundation that will stand the test of time. David Allen Co. And so their tagline is, let's talk about how forming the foundation of company success all comes together. So without further ado, I'm so stoked to have Alice Leung of Brick and Mortar Ventures come in and share her story with you, tribe. Let's do this. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage is a nice glass of red wine.
All right. What vineyard or type or where or brand? What's the one that comes to mind?
A simple one that's easy to drink anytime is from Scribe Winery up in Sonoma, and they have a really easy to drink Pinot Noir.
All right. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
I think the favorite place that I've traveled is to Myanmar, Yangon, Myanmar. And I visited back in, I think, 2017. And that was when President Obama kind of just allowed Americans to visit the country. And when I visited, everything kind of looked like what I would expect the U.S. would look like back in the 60s or the 70s. So it was kind of like transporting back in time and seeing some really old infrastructure and just kind of understanding how people lived in that city during that time period.
Super cool. Give us one story from something that came to mind from that, like a specific structure thing that went on.
Well, so we were visiting a lot of the temples, and there were so many beautiful temples, but to get to a lot of the temples, we were like walking around the city and just looking at the buses looked really, really old. And it was similar to a lot of countries around Asia. It's just, you know, so many buses, cars, motorbikes, all on the roads at the same time. So it was a little scary kind of crossing the roads, but it was just such an incredible place to be, just seeing how different people lived.
Awesome. And what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction tech silos we're going to break down that we passionately call the art of construction?
I've really enjoyed doing some pretty long hikes. So there are a couple of peaks around Southeast Asia that I've done with some good friends. Right before the pandemic, my last trip was doing the Otrek in Patagonia.
Oh, wow.
So I hope that now that the world has kind of opened up, I can get a couple more of those hikes in.
Awesome. Well, let's get into this. What is your story that led you to joining Brick and Mortar Ventures?
Yeah, so I'll give you a kind of shorter version of this because I know I explain this a lot all the time. So my background is in working for a commercial general contractor. So I worked for DPR Construction for a good number of years. I was very fortunate that when I joined DPR, when I entered the construction industry, it was about the same time when BIM and VDC started becoming, you know, a lot more widely adopted. I wouldn't say it's widely adopted today, but it was kind of at the forefront of adoption. And at the same time, iPads were invented and, you know, smartphones were becoming more prevalent. And we were just starting to see the kind of first generation of the apps being built for construction, particularly for the field. So we saw a lot of, you know, apps that were trying to get into like the digital job site workflow, trying to bring 3D models out on the construction site. So it's very much this end user that loved working with startups while I was at DPR. And throughout my career, I was fortunate that I got to work really closely with the innovation group to test out and evaluate new technologies. So I spent a lot of time with point cloud data and comparing with 3D models, trying to figure out, you know, how do we do best in class reality capture? Did a couple of, you know, projects with drones and trying to get a really good sense of how do we utilize that for site logistics. Also tried finding use cases for VR headsets, and that was a ton of fun, though you know, it's not really practical still today. And eventually got to a point in my career where I wanted to go join a construction tech startup because I had worked on various types of projects and have developed different processes to manage operational workflows on a construction site, and saw that a lot of those processes were still managed by Excel spreadsheets. We were communicating through email. Some of the technologies that we were using were very non-user not intuitive for the users. And I wanted to memorialize a lot of those processes into technology so that we can scale it across businesses and potentially across the industry so that, you know, I feel like I could have a bigger impact on the space. And it was really through those conversations and searching for a startup to join that I got to chat with the Brick and Mortar team. And ended up just getting a job offer without knowing anything about venture capital or investing or really what that startup journey looks like.
I love that, Tia, because you lived the art of construction, but then you said, I want to really be a leader in construction technologies or the kind of how the investments work around that. So can you tell us about the Brick and Mortar Ventures team and what is your role within that team to get this thing going?
Yeah, so I have such an incredible team and I've learned so much from working with them. A huge credit to Darren Bechtel for kind of, you know, thinking about what a team should look like to invest in construction tech. So Brick and Mortar Ventures was founded back in 2015, and that was the time when there were really no, you know, billion-dollar companies in the construction tech space. It was before Plan Grid got acquired by Autodesk, before Aconex was acquired for, you know, $1.2 billion, before the recent Procore IPO. So it was really before people actually like cared much about construction tech. And from the investing side, there were really no funds out there that had a thesis around investing in construction or were even aware that this was a big industry. Because 2015, this was before McKinsey published their famous, you know, construction is the second least digitized industry, and, you know, above agriculture. And so back in 2015, Darren kind of saw that, you know, more having come from construction, he was seeing that more people were adopting new tech. There were more startups in the construction tech space. There were more entrepreneurs excited about building technologies for construction. And that was the same time when, you know, I was in industry trying to figure out, you know, what are the best technologies to use? So I think the timing of that really was, you know, being able to, I guess, invest in those early construction tech startups focusing on the field. And he brought in Curtis Rogers, who founded the Society for Construction Solutions, which was really a group of people getting together to talk about new technologies. And he was bringing together construction technologists. He was bringing together entrepreneurs. So really this like bridging the gap between industry where people wanted to learn about the new tech and then the entrepreneurs who were building the technologies. So Curtis and Darren ended up meeting because they were working with the same entrepreneurs. And Curtis pitched Darren an idea for a startup, and Darren ended up offering him a job. And that was really the beginning of Brick and Mortar Ventures as more of a formal fund. So for the first couple of years, this was still early on in construction tech, and there were still just a handful of startups. They invested Darren's personal capital to build a little bit of a track record, and then to memorialize and, you know, kind of be held accountable for those investments and to build out more of a platform for investing in construction tech startups. Darren and Curtis raised the first half of the Brick and Mortar Ventures Fund One, and then KP and Austin joined on shortly after that. And if you look at all of our team, and you know, you can take a look at our website and you look at our backgrounds and our profiles, you can see that we all come from operational backgrounds. So we're not, you know, your typical venture capital investors who work in investment banking or in finance for all of our careers and then now looking at this new space. If you look at Darren's background, Curtis having worked at Kiewit McCarthy, KP was at Kiewit and then went to work at McKinsey, co-leading the construction and engineering service line. Austin, though he's more of a traditional finance background, he worked in startup operations, growing and scaling companies from, you know, 10 employees to over 400 employees. And his family does land development. So he's kind of grown up around the really, really early stages of like construction, like, you know, the design pre-con construction phase. So he's kind of seen, you know, the industry change. So if you look at our backgrounds, we've all been related to construction in some way. And I kind of see us as, you know, a buy construction for construction fund, because we work with all of these players in the construction supply chain. A lot of the investors of our funds come from the construction value chains. We have large conglomerates, we have materials companies, we have tools companies, and our team have a lot of firsthand experience working in different types of construction projects and having worked in various roles within a construction team. So we've kind of come together with our networks, our experience, our investors and their experience, and we're really investing in, you know, the construction process.
I love that. And at the beginning of that, you talked about how to get past email and Excel. And I challenge to say, I think a lot of this is still in that same phase, but there's so much awareness getting put out there, right? But the tagline of buy construction for construction, I think that's really important, because construction is messy, right? Like I've had the pleasure, we're closing in on our 275th podcast, and I've done a lot of these where I've got to interview a lot of different people. And a lot of times people are like, Devin, you do so many different things. I'm trying to understand how does your construction platform work? I'm like, well, we're trying to put it all together, and putting construction together is a messy, gooey, a lot of legacy stuff to move forward, right? And I wanted to just pause and say thank you for so many great introductions to Art of Construction Tribe. And I want to talk about a few of those, of just podcasts recently of introductions that I have gained so much knowledge as a lifelong learner through the different connections. And this will just kind of be to tee up how much cool stuff Brick and Mortar Ventures is doing and how the platform that you're building. So you think about our recent show 263 titled Housing as a Product. And I think that is a kind of the perfect platform where Greg, same last name, but not connected, right? As far as family, or it's just a coincidence, but you both are both influencers in the space, right?
Yes, coincidence. But it's funny because when I first met him, we kind of joked around about that. And we both grew up in the Bay Area, family from similar parts of China, which is why the last name is spelled the same way. But definitely not related.
That's fascinating. So 263 Housing as a Product, and Greg is going to be the keynote at Built North America, where Alice and I are both very involved with. And his podcast really does a great job of talking about productizing these different elements. But then it's all about these different veins and tentacles within the Art of Construction, and show 259, the construction layout Roomba. And I want to talk about the Roomba part as we kind of tee into how you invest and how you get noticed in construction tech. And when Alice makes these email introductions to me, Tribe, behind the scenes, there's all of this kind of moving, and it all starts with email or LinkedIn or these different things, but you have to have a tagline that gets noticed. And when Alice emailed me with Derek and Logan of Rugged Robotics, she didn't start by saying all this stuff about gooey middle aged dinner. It was like, these guys are like the construction layout Roomba, which became the title of the podcast. That's where we need the right help from to market inside, outside, and all come together. So their platform is super cool that they've invested in. And I'm going to run through all these, and I'm going to let you kind of just circle them back. And one that's coming out soon is Aaron Klein, who is Boom and Bucket. And they're all about a marketplace for used equipment, similar to Carvana for buying cars. And so that the same thing about the Roomba of construction, of laying out construction sites, is the same as buying used equipment. That's something where Alice is going to give us some lessons as we go and unfold this podcast. Or David with show 256, the Blue Collar Warrior series that's titled LinkedIn for Tradespeople. And he talked about how on that podcast, the whole platform was launched because he was saying, well, LinkedIn, he's like, and the guy at the bar who does the subcontractor work, he's like, I don't know what LinkedIn, I don't care about ever being on LinkedIn. And that's how Trade Hounds was launched. Or Jim Baldwin, who was in Apple just like Greg was, and these people that have been in other sectors to bring this stuff together, where his platform about reinventing electrical with Domatic, or our podcast with Dwight Morgan and Dave Osher of Offsite Tech talking about how humans work with robots, to where Dwight sold all the robots to Katerra, and we've had all these lessons learned about what Katerra did to kind of change the conversation. But it's a much bigger thing than one platform. And so, Alice, could you circle back just a few of these great introductions that you've made to the Art of Construction Tribe? And hopefully we've done them justice as we've celebrated your successes within Brick and Mortar Ventures.
At Brick and Mortar Ventures, we're always trying to find those new business models or new ideas and new ways of thinking about things, right? So for, I would say, the last 10 to 15 years or so, we've seen a lot of digitization just in terms of, hey, let's turn this paper process into a digital process. But the way that we are going to have these step changes in construction is really trying to figure out, how do we find those companies that are changing the entire way of doing something. So changing that entire process. So if you think about going back to housing as a product, and you think about how we've been designing homes and how we build the homes, why can't we do that the same way as how we design and build cars? So that was kind of the way that Connect Homes was thinking about it. And Jared and Gordon, having done so many prefab modular single family residential projects before, they saw a lot of the inefficiencies of, you know, from the design perspective, logistics perspective. And we've seen, you know, automotive and manufacturing do some of this stuff very efficiently. And you can churn out cars, you know, so quickly these days. Why can't we do the same for a house? And then if we talk about rugged, it really wasn't until the last couple of years when the robotics technologies, the sensors, and the way that you could do robotic controls was at a price point that made sense for construction. So we've obviously seen robotics happening in other industries where, you know, they have way higher margins. There's a lot more R&D spend, a lot of it having gone into, you know, military defense and even self-driving cars from the sensor perspective. There's been all of these other adjacent industries that have developed all these great technologies. And because they've become almost commoditized, we now have very inexpensive sensors that we can utilize to build platforms like Rugged for the entire industry. And I think moving forward, you know, that is also a platform play because Rugged has solved localization on a construction site. They figured out, how do I very inexpensively and accurately know where I am on this floor plan without all of these added sensors? There's no IoT, there isn't all of this other stuff. So because they've solved that, now it's like you can go out in the field and start thinking about, okay, what other attachments can we make? What other scopes of work can we do? Can we have people start developing, you know, additional software leveraging the sensors, or can we develop, you know, robotic arms and stuff like that that we can now put on top of Rugged and start doing all of these other scopes of work? And, you know, now we start thinking about the future of construction, where can we have one of these Rugged robots on every construction site for the life of a construction site? And as the scopes of work change, you can kind of swap out different arms or, you know, bits and tools. And then Rugged can basically augment the workers and, you know, follow along the workers on site and start, you know, either, you know, finishing or doing some of the tasks that the humans no longer need to do. So I think there's a lot of, you know, really exciting stuff going on, and these are all great companies, and we definitely appreciate you speaking with them and allowing them to tell their story. And we kind of talked a little bit about this earlier, is when you can dig into the reason why some of these founders are building these companies, I think that's really inspirational to a lot of people, like both working in construction and thinking about starting a company, and just really digging into how they've thought about the problem and then what is their solution to solve that problem. And if you can get some perspectives from outside of industry, I think you can start just rethinking about the problem in a different way that can be these step changes for the industry. And it's not just, hey, let's just digitize this. It's like, hey, let's redo this process so that we're now making that process way more efficient.
100%. And it's such an honor to be able to connect these dots, because it truly is those connection points. I was just last week, we're doing a lot of work, conversations with Trimble, and I was at their headquarters with seeing all of the different stuff in their arms with their robot dog, and like how it's all the next level stuff. It's like, wow. And there's a lot of parallels, right? And we need a lot of different types of Roombas to actually make this be a job site change. So it's not just this one thing. It's like, these are all massive businesses within the business to change how construction is done. What are some of the other companies that you've invested in, or active investments? And I want you to talk about active investments with me, because then next we're going to talk about exits.
Yeah. So active investments are companies that are still part of the portfolio that have not exited yet. I know this is a really bad way to explain it. So they're still on their journey. So they're still raising capital. They're still building their product. And I think maybe it's easier to define what an exit is first before getting into active investments. So what an exit is, it's some type of acquisition or, you know, going public. So it's kind of transitioning from, you know, a privately funded company to either a public company or being acquired. And, you know, that those early investors have had some type of liquidity event. So just a little bit about venture capital and how it works is venture capital is funding from private sources in private companies, and you are giving away part of your company for capital. So for a lot of our investments, we will basically buy 10 to 20% of a company at the early stages in exchange for some amount of money. And an exit would be the event where the early investors kind of get paid back for their investment. So it could be, you know, through an acquisition, through an IPO exit, because then, you know, once it's a public company, there's other people who buy the stocks, and there's, you know, it could get, you know, super complex. But I think just generally speaking, when we're talking about construction tech, it would be, say, an acquisition by Autodesk in, you know, for PlanGrid's perspective, FieldWire got acquired by Hilti, Levelset got acquired by Procore. So those are all exits. And then if you look at from a public market perspective, Procore going public and now being listed on the stock exchange, that is also an exit opportunity.
And I really appreciate that explanation, because it's totally makes sense to me now when you say it. It's kind of like this build out to then build up. It's kind of like the horizontal to then go vertical when you start learning the development world in general, of kind of just like how these different moving parts, because I've had this journey, and I think back when you talk about FieldWire or PlanGrid, because I had the pleasure of, like, I was just getting going. In fact, it was show 51 launched July 21st of 2016, titled Mobile Collaboration for the Construction Industry. And Tribe, I look at these on the, I'm looking at my notes on the screen, and I was like, that's a cool company. And I literally just started calling these founders and started meeting with these founders that were really, really smart, really cool people that these podcasts, then all of a sudden they like went away. And I was like, what happened? And I tell that story is because once you become kind of public, everything kind of changes. Like, because it's not your baby anymore. It's someone else's baby. And we have to figure out, like, when you bring somebody in, the art of construction is the art of moving money. And we all have to realize that as we move this together. As my early infancy shows of the podcast, just like show 77, titled Technology for the Construction Industry, Making Life Easier While in the Field. Well, that's transcribed to where now we're always talking about connecting the field to the office with our warriors. And PlanGrid was that tool to where, it's crazy to think about this back, that was in 2017 to now 2022. One of the things we all got to be thinking about, Tribe, is you got to figure out how to make your business saleable. Because if it's just you and it's your baby, you may burn out, right? And so you got to think about whether you want to or not. Like, if you're going to be in a construction tech that may be in the Autodesk world, is say, how does this fit in and be relevant? And that's what PlanGrid did to become relevant, just like FieldWire did, back to those shows that I was just a lifelong learner trying to figure that out. So anything you'd add to that about the exits to then we want to get into, how do we learn about active investments?
Yeah, so nothing to add on the exits. I mean, there still aren't a lot, because we are very much still in we're still in the infancy of construction tech. Like, there have been a handful of exits, but there's still so many more companies on that journey. So going to the active investments, these are all companies that are still on that journey, and they're still raising capital. They're still growing. They're still trying to figure out within the overall construction tech ecosystem where they fit. And there's definitely companies that would be excellent, you know, new functions or new extensions of existing platforms. And those are the ones that could very well get acquired by some of these large companies over the next couple of years. But there are some companies that should be or have the opportunity to be this, you know, public company and be valued at over $1 billion and, you know, can change the industry in a really big way. So those are more like platform plays versus point solutions. And, you know, we can even at some point in time dig into all of the different nuances between those types of technologies and from an investment strategy perspective, what does that look like? But going back to active investments, you know, we have great companies like Branch Technology that we actually learned about from co-hosting the 3D printed habitat challenge for, I think it was Moon or Mars. I'm going to butcher this, but we partnered with NASA because we thought that the best way to learn about construction was to try to find construction in the most complex environments. And if you're thinking about, hey, let's, you know, build habitats on Mars, you know, how do we figure out the logistics? How do we even build technologies to do that in that type of environment? So we've looked at, you know, doing construction in outer space. We've looked at, you know, mining a lot. We've looked at, you know, what does underwater construction look like? What are all of these different environments, these really, really tricky environments? And yeah, it was through that challenge that we got to meet and work with the Branch team, who now does 3D printed exterior facades. And it's like, you know, we've studied 3D printing, we've studied concrete. And, you know, back in that time period, there were a lot of 3D printed concrete companies. But when you think about the logistics of moving gantries around or trying to figure out like, all right, what is the special recipe of that concrete mixture for this environment, you know, from a temperature and humidity perspective, all of those variables make it really, really hard to 3D print concrete on site. So we started looking into, okay, what does 3D printing plus prefab look like? And Branch is doing prefabricated panels. And the reason why they want to do 3D printing is because that allows you to have so much design freedom. So you can design basically whatever you want for the facade, and it'll be a fraction of the cost of what it would look like if you used labor to do that, because you can now have all these really, really intricate shapes and designs. And one of the favorite projects that I've seen Branch work on is they were, I think it was like a science or a space museum or something like that. And for part of the facade, they actually had the surface of the moon. And wow. I was like, that is just so cool. And it's just so unique. And it's like, it just makes you feel like this building is not just, you know, a concrete box, right? You're adding a lot more character to that building. So through a lot of these interactions with industry, we've been able to get connected with these great companies. And yeah, these are still companies on their journey. And I think Branch is one of those that has an opportunity to become a really large company that could potentially go, you know, get listed on the public market, go IPO. But they would also be a great acquisition opportunity for a large facade company. They're already partnering with Stowe. I think there's so many paths, right? And they're still early that we don't know.
Love it. So let's get into the specifics where when this podcast goes live, we make these global and timeless to where you can listen whenever it works for your schedule, but also those moments and times that you kind of want to dangle the carrot and talk about of like how we're all coming together to build better buildings, right? And so we're both involved in Digital Built Environment Institute. That is a mouthful, right? Because it's this really cool group of people that were like Revit users before Autodesk. And it's like this lifelong of the AECO silos where I was talking about. This is that A silo that I've been super honored to get involved with because I've learned so much from these people that have lived these specific things about how we can begin with the end in mind of how to build better buildings. And I think that's really, really important to learn from. There's so much passion around this group of people where we're going to be at Digital Built Week while this is going live in Anaheim. And so you're on that committee. Can you talk about being on that committee and what this group is all about?
Yeah. So I actually joined the committee when I was in Singapore. So I joined the Asia committee first. And then when I relocated back to North America, I had the opportunity to join the North America committee. But how I got involved with it was I relocated to Singapore. I didn't know anything about the construction industry there. And I was building up a network from scratch, but it was actually through working with a startup, BIM Anywhere, someone that I'd worked with, you know, a long time ago. Phil Lorenzo introduced me to Phil Lazarus, who was on the committee, because I was like, hey, you know, I want to get involved with the technology community in Southeast Asia. Where do I find like-minded people who are in construction that want to talk about tech and learn about innovation and learn about what's going on in the space? So I got connected with Phil Lazarus, and then ended up meeting, you know, the group of people who ran Built Asia. And from there, it was like just, you know, driving around, making those connections, learning technology. So they invited me to join that committee there. And the big differentiation between the Digital Built Week and all of the Built events is that it's very much focused on training and community. And I think this is very unique compared to a lot of the other conferences out there, because a lot of the conferences, they may be, you know, more focused on networking, or they may do training, but it's very high level training. And at Built, because it used to be the Revit technology conference, it was always sharing, and it was sharing, you know, what were the best practices or really granular processes on how do I do XYZ in this software. So it's always been, hey, I've figured it out and I want to share it, because within our industry, you know, as technology users, it doesn't make sense to compete with each other, because we're all just trying to do our jobs better and make our workflows more efficient. So that was one of the things that really drew me to this group, and why I love being involved with this community of people, is because we've broken down the walls of what company do you work for. And it's very much, I'm having this issue with this technology, and there are other people out there who have probably had the same issues with those same technologies, but someone has probably solved it. And it's a group of people coming together to really share those best practices in utilizing technology for AEC.
100%, right? And when sharing information, that's where we make these podcasts, you know, their own fireside chat, but it fits into this global network that we continue to build day in, day out. And I think it's crazy to hear, like, the further you cast your net, the smaller the world seems. And as I continue to meet people all over the globe, and I'm so excited to be facilitating this panel that's going to be titled Successful Investment Strategies for Employees and Entrepreneurs, that we have a really cool group of people with you and I, with Moritz Luck and Phil Reed and Reed Thomas. Can you kind of talk about that conversation that's going to be its own platform within this bigger platform as we're talking about at this presentation is Built?
Yeah, I think the main theme for me really is to talk about all of the different opportunities for an AEC professional when it comes to investing or thinking about your career. There's so many different avenues of getting involved with, you know, the stock market or advising a startup or buying into a partnership of an architecture firm or starting your own company, right? And you could start your own company as, you know, you can start your own services business, or you can also start a, you know, AEC tech company. So there's all of these different paths. And I think the very interesting thing for this panel will be that we can kind of go into how we've each thought about our journeys and how we've been evaluating opportunities from these three perspectives. So there's me, the investor, there's Phil, who works with a lot of technology providers, and there's Moritz, who's kind of gone through that entrepreneurial journey. And there's pros and cons to all of these different paths. And we want to make it a really kind of real conversation around those pros and cons, so that we can demystify a lot of, you know, the crazy words that you're reading online, or you know, what the media says versus what is reality, what is on LinkedIn versus what is reality. And we want to dig into all of that.
I love it. And so the other thing I wanted to just have you tell the Art of Construction tribe about is another really cool platform that you're involved with, titled Formworks Labs. That is this collaboration that with your brick and mortar ventures and Built Worlds, if I'm understanding that, to where you guys talk about how you're aiming to be the foundation for entrepreneurship and innovation for the construction industry. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So through our experience at brick and mortar, working with all of these entrepreneurs, we've really gotten a sense of what is the most challenging thing that they're going through at the beginning of their journey. And these are, from a stage perspective, they're at this journey, it's usually a couple of founders, they may have an idea, but what they really need to do, that next step, is to test that idea with a lot of customers to get customer feedback, and or to start piloting their solution with some customers. And the biggest gap that we've seen is actually this connection between those entrepreneurs and industry. So we decided to partner with Built Worlds because Built Worlds has this really great community of innovators in the AC space that want to work with these startups. So we've leveraged our network plus the Built Worlds network to create this community of entrepreneurs who want to get connected with industry and investors, investors who want to invest in construction tech startups, and also industry professionals who want to advise and work with these startups to guide them along their journey to make sure that what they're building is relevant for the industry. So I would say Formwork Labs is almost this extension of trying to build this community of people that can mentor, advise, help each other for kind of continuing to build more and more construction technology, like more and more of a community around construction technology.
I absolutely love that. And there's so many talking tracks around that, just the whole, these cliches of working on the business versus working in the business, in this, you know, how it can be lonely at the top and the blinders of you can't get out of your own way sometimes, for you have to have people that are like-minded in a similar place. And you talk about the beginning of the entrepreneurship stage. And that's one of my big takeaways from this conversation is that, you know, every step of the entrepreneurship journey has challenges, right? And it's breaking through these ceilings that at the startup phase, a lot of the stuff is the same issues, wherever you're at, right? And as I've been spending time at Trimble, it's been fascinating of where, but how hard it is to connect that stuff of the agriculture, the construction, the different things of all these things coming together around construction tech. So I commend Brick and Mortar Ventures for continuing to evolve and move forward. So the way I'm understanding, I want to make sure that I'm articulating this correctly, is that it's Brick and Mortar Ventures with Built Worlds is coming together to create Formwork Labs. Is that correct, Alice?
Yes, 100%. And they are the perfect partner for us to do this with.
And what I love about what these VC being in entrenched with the different moving parts is that you guys are not trying to reinvent every wheel. You're trying to go find the different cogs of the wheel and get that wheel flowing better and better every day. So not just starting everything from scratch. And one of the taglines that I've heard and I use over and over is no project should start from a clean slate. And I think that's what Brick and Mortar Ventures is doing every day. It's saying, okay, what are we doing in the water or in Mars that is really hard, but it makes it much easier to do it here in the good old US of A.
Exactly. And that's why we study so many adjacent industries to look at their technologies and to figure out, okay, how do we bring that technology into construction? And one really good example is we made an investment in a company called Advanced Navigation out of Australia. And they were in the military defense space. So they have developed a very inexpensive fiber optic gyroscope that is super accurate. And they develop a ton of these different type of navigational sensors. And because they've paired sensors with neural networks that can help understand where you are and how the movement is happening, we saw this great opportunity where they've developed a sensor that is getting less and less expensive over time. And is at a point where, hey, these sensors are actually at a price point that makes sense for construction. So how can we start bringing these sensors into construction, whether it's in robotics or tracking gait for how humans walk and trying to detect, you know, any type of injury? Like, there's so many applications to this very, very sensitive piece of technology that is at a price point that works, that we were like, hey, we need to bring this into construction. And now we've partnered with Advanced Navigation and have connected them with all of these different construction technology startups and companies to figure out how do we leverage this technology from outside of our industry into our industry.
I love it. Well, thank you so much as we get down to close this thing out for kind of giving us the overview and so many different connections. We're honored to be affiliated with Brick and Mortar Ventures and what you're all doing, because it's, you know, it's this global megaphone, but the riches are in the niches. And this is a massive niche when it comes to construction tech. And when you talk about the McKinsey report, it's really gained a lot of awareness, and it's fascinating to see this journey. But as we close this thing out, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more human robotic interfaces. I know this sounds crazy, but we've seen exoskeletons around for, I would say, a couple of decades now. I mean, it's not fully commercialized yet, and it's not at a price point where it makes sense. But just given all of these hardware technologies and sensors becoming less and less expensive, and the, you know, the foundational software layers for controls, that's all becoming less expensive too. So I see this world where we can really augment our workers with robotics and hardware, so that with this looming labor shortage, we're still able to build the housing and the buildings that we need to support our population around the world with a, you know, reduced labor short, or with the labor shortage. So the only way to do it is to augment the humans with technology. And I think, you know, I'm a little optimistic about that because of the recent investments that we've made, but I think it's really this trend that we're seeing now. And I would just love to see a lot more entrepreneurs looking at that space, and we need a lot more investors investing in hardware.
100%. What is that one thing, as we close this thing out, what is that one thing, Alice, you want to think about our warriors and our contractors and our construction tech people that we call contractors and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business?
I would say have those conversations, be open to having those conversations across, you know, the technology with the industry, and maybe more for the construction tech community, is really trying to dig into what are those pain points out on site, because we've seen too many technologies that get developed just based on one idea of someone who thinks that that's a problem. But when you really dig a couple levels deeper, that was actually not the main problem. That was just a band-aid solution. And we really need to get to the root of those problems. So I would encourage the construction technology side to really live the life of one of their customers and really try to dig into what are those processes. And then on the customer side, I ask that you be open and honest about feedback to these technology providers, because at the end of the day, that's the only way that they're going to build better tech for industry.
I love it. Alice, thank you so much for all the connections and coming and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Tribe, when we interviewed Steve Burrows as the keynote at the last Digital Built Week conference, the presentation was titled, "It's the Greatest Time to Be Involved in Construction." And at the time, I was kind of like, boy, that's a lofty kind of conversation. But the way Steve Burrows talked about it, it is the greatest time to be involved in construction tech conversation, because it's right here happening right now. And actually, that's where most of the workforce wants to be anyway, right? And so you have this opportunity, like Alice from DPR Construction, that being one of these early adopters of what I talk about, connecting the video games to handshakes, where she talked about putting in the virtual reality and all these different things that didn't really get used. But I can tell you that stuff changed the game, because what it did is it forced people to think differently. And it's, how do we get past email and Excel? It's working with people that are doing things by construction, for construction. And I think that's the part, if you want to talk about Devin the disruptor, I did a lot of work with Katerra and other companies that have come and gone. Really, really amazing people that we worked with. But they were just doing it all their own way. And that's the point of, you cannot start your project from a clean slate. You got to work with the tribe. And so you have to be able to figure out whether it's Boom and Bucket, that's a marketplace for used equipment. That's just a totally different way to think about it than just one of these things that my equipment broke down and now what do I do? And you react. We have to stop reacting and be proactive to figure out how you can take your idea and make it be public, because we're way too private in construction and the silos are way too built up. And so we have to figure out like Branch Technology to say there's been in the news for a lot of stuff about 3D printing in a lot of different ways. You got to figure out how to systemize and automate to move this stuff forward. Because every step of the way at the entrepreneurship journey, a lot of the issues are the same, Tribe. So you have to go get the right amount of helps. So that's just like Brick and Mortar Ventures did, right? They went out and partnered with Built Worlds to create these different platforms, right? So I leave you with this, Tribe. When you go out there to solve your problem, is it your problem? Or is it the Art of Construction Tribe working together to build better buildings? Make sure you stop, look yourself in the mirror, and answer that question before you pivot left or right. And we're all here to help you and have as much fun as possible. And here we are. Hope to see many of you that I'm having this recording now, these Global and Timeless at Digital Built Week, or all the other Digital Built Weeks coming up after this. We're here to support you and have as much fun as possible. Crush it out there, Tribe.